Hello.
Hi.
We're here.
What's up? This is Cat Naps and Cognac.
Yeah.
Spliggity splack.
Guess what?
I know that pork fat.
It is episode 9.
Say what?
Episode 9.
You jive turkey. What? You better say it again.
It is episode 9, cool cat.
Welcome and thank you for tuning in.
Yes, and we welcome, you know, past listeners. We thank you for coming back. And new listeners, thank you for tuning in.
Hey, we're raising the roof to you.
Raise the roof. So we're so glad that you guys are tuning in.
Because we about to tune you out. I meant turn.
Turn.
You know what I meant.
Turn.
But let's rewind. We about to turn you out.
Yeah. So, how's your week?
My week so far, you know what? It's a short work week.
Yeah.
President's Day was Monday, so we got that day off. Didn't do much this whole weekend.
Did I?
So, I'm already ready for this week to be over.
Me too.
That's about how this week is going.
Yeah. Thank God it's coming soon. Thank God. Yeah. I lazed about all weekend.
You know what? I feel like I lazed about almost every weekend now.
Me too.
And I'm not mad. Because I just feel like when it is cold outside, I honestly don't want to go anywhere.
Right.
Like, I'm cool with being in the house. I'm cool with being inside. Like, I barely even want to travel to someone else's house to be inside. Like, let me just, let me just stay warm. Stay where I'm at. If I go out, it has to be for something good.
Definitely.
So, that's what my life is about.
I'm the same way.
In the winter.
I'm the same way.
Especially since it's been, like, especially cold this week.
Extra cold.
Yeah.
I don't know what's that about.
Winter?
Winter. Shit. Winter in Florida is 80 degrees.
Ain't not gonna be like Florida. You have no shorty.
Tina grown. I'm not here for it. It's so cold. My hands hurt. Oh my gosh.
You gotta get some thick gloves.
Definitely.
You gotta get the thick gloves, or you have to get the, to get mittens.
Mittens. I wanna get mittens.
Because mittens
we should
keep your...
Kittens with mittens.
I did have some, well, I had, like, fake mittens. They were snapback gloves.
Oh.
So, they were fingerless, and then it had, you know,
It was like a hoodie for your fingers.
Right. Okay. Right. You got it. It was like a hoodie for, or more like a cloak.
Okay.
Because all your fingers were covered. Yeah, and it turned into, it looked like a mitten.
Gotcha.
Right. Yeah, so it was good for when you're on the phone and texting, but now I have my leather gloves on, so I have to always, like, when I'm... addicted to my phone, like walking around, I'll walk with like one glove on.
Check you out, Michael Jackson.
Right, or if I'm on the subway because I don't want to touch the poles or anything with my hands.
Right.
So I'll always, I know I look crazy because I'll be, sometimes if I'm putting on my glove or like taking it out of my bag or something, like I might not have time to put it on while I'm grabbing the door or whatever. So I'll like just hold the glove in my hand and then like wrap it around the door handle so I don't have to touch the handle. I do it like every day and I'm like, bitch, you look crazy. But or I'll wait until someone opens the door. Like, oh, let me scoot in.
I didn't have to touch it.
Right.
That's what she said.
Good one. But ew, germs. And then I always think to myself, like, why don't I have hand sanitizer in my bag?
Why don't you?
I don't know. Yeah, I brought hand sanitizer. It's right there.
That's a big bottle.
It is.
You gotta get a travel size bottle.
But look at my bag.
Oh, okay.
Just for you guys, it's like a crossbody bag. So it's, I keep a notebook and a book in there. So
well, then you definitely can carry that.
And a pair of earrings. Like, there's no reason why I shouldn't be, you know, let me just throw this over there right now.
Yeah, definitely.
There's no reason why I shouldn't have hand sanitizer in my bag.
Yeah, I keep the hand sanitizer in my bag. These people on here are disgusting.
People are disgusting everywhere.
Especially here. Because, like, I was watching this one kid. It was so gross. Like, he was eating potato chips. And then, like, he was sitting there licking each and every single finger. And then, like, put his hands all over the poles, all over the doors. And I was like, oh! I was so grossed out.
Yeah, that's so disgusting.
I can't believe it.
That's nasty.
That is nasty. So his nasty, spitty fingers all over the poles, I was like, I took out my hand sanitizer right there. I wasn't even touching nothing.
Ew.
Ugh. That's people really are gross. People are nasty.
No, one of the worst things, going back to the cold, is people in New York spit a lot.
Oh, my God.
They spit everywhere.
I'll be playing hopscotch walking down the sidewalk. Yes. And I'm not stepping in it.
No, not at all. Not at all. But the worst is when it gets cold, the spit freezes.
Ugh.
So you just have, like, an icy block of spit.
It's disgusting.
And it's so nasty.
It's disgusting. Like, why is that? That is a really nasty habit. But why do people in New York do that so much?
I don't know. Like, I feel like even though you occasionally have to spit or whatever, I feel like I never really saw that, like, as much as I see it in New York. Like, it's everywhere.
But they spit anywhere. They spit on the train. They spit on the steps. They spit on the sidewalk.
Especially them steps.
They spit anywhere. Like, this is gross. You know what? Growing up in Florida, I'm going to tell you this right now. I mean, you don't walk much, but I can tell you, I never saw spit as much as I see it up there. Maybe if I were I probably can take 5 steps.
And the worst
steps.
Is flu season, because you definitely see that phlegm.
And that nasty lime spit. Y'all are nasty up here. Y'all are nasty.
Can we get a New Yorker to explain why y'all spit so
seriously?
Much? Because this is something that we
no,
need
you
to
know.
No,
you know what? I need to write a strongly worded letter to Bloomberg and make him do some kind of ordinance where people can't spit on the floor. Walk around with tissue or something spitting that shit. This is nasty.
Or at least, like, if you do have to spit, like, I don't know, just spit in the street.
I don't want to see it.
No, you don't want to. I'm trying to compromise. Mm. Like, you said spit in the tissue.
Act like you have some class.
Spit in the grass. No, you don't want
to
spit
they
in
the ain't
grass.
Got no grass up here. Where they going to spit?
In the park.
They going to go all the way to the park. You know what? I'm in Brooklyn. I'm going to go all the way to Central Park so I can go
spit. I'm just saying, like, if you're in the park.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Don't spit on the walkway. Nobody wants to see that.
Sidewalks.
It's hideous.
So
stop doing
gross.
That, guys. Yeah, why do you guys spit up here so much?
I need to know. Like, we really need to know.
Is that, like, a part of the New York way?
I don't know. I'm not
doing
it.
Y'all carry a lot of spit in your mouths and you got to get rid of it?
You want to know, like, why? Probably because they talk so damn much.
Y'all do talk a lot. And y'all don't be saying nothing.
So all that saliva just builds up with bullshit. Some New Yorkers,
some
not
New
all.
Yorkers, not all.
Because some of y'all are very great conversationalists.
Yes.
But for all you hot air New Yorkers, y'all know he's talking about.
Foaming at the mouth.
right. Got so much to say.
Speaking of foaming at the mouth, that should be so nasty when people be talking and then got the spit right down the corners. When you be carrying and spit in the corners. You gotta watch for that.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Most of the time, those people have bad breath.
Ooh.
They got, like, dry cotton mouth, and then they have really bad breath. I've never met anybody who carried spit right there in the corner of their mouth who had fresh breath. It'd be stale and funky.
Stale breath is the worst. Oh,
my
gosh.
That shit, like, lingers in the air. Oh, my God. Today, I walked through a cloud of stale breath, and I just had to puke. I was so mad. I was like, ah! I was so upset.
It's like next.
Yeah. Like I
with
walked.
With the kitty paw.
Right. I was so upset. Like that's okay. I'm really big on dental hygiene and, you know, oral hygiene. You know, take care of your mouth.
Yes.
Please. It's like one of, you know, their face is the first thing that greets people. And then once you start talking and then, like, you know, bad breath, like, don't. You know, emit bad odors. You know, I don't like malodorous breath. I like nice teeth and I like good breath. So, you know, to walk through that, like, that just, it really, like, I was leaving work all happy about going to go get my library card, and I walked to that damn cloud of stuff. I was like, oh, god damn, like, I was so mad.
Oh my gosh, I wish y'all could see my face because this is hilarious.
Oh my god, I was upset. I was really upset. So, yeah, stop spitting, take care of your breath, Walk around with tissue. Like, we've got a lot of tissue.
Carry hand sanitizer. Don't lick your palms.
Don't lick your nasty palms, you nasty bastard. If you listening to the show, you little bastard that was doing that nastiness, don't do that no more. That's nasty.
She's a real auntie, but don't do that no more.
Don't. Nasty asses. Apparently, you can see I was upset about it. But
extremely upset. That's just nasty.
It is nasty.
It's like when you think about bad breath, like when someone has bad breath and shit hits your face, you think about all the time someone with bad breath.
Right. Like,
it's like a flashback.
Yes.
It's like a bad breath montage. It's like, it all runs together.
And you just get super upset.
I thought it was just...
No! I don't like bad breath.
Like, if you smell someone with, like, tuna breath, like, it reminds you of, like, your ninth grade teacher that had that tuna breath every single time.
All up in your face. Right. So that stale breath, it made me think of my science teacher in the seventh grade. She had really nasty, stale breath, and she would always come super, super close to you, and I was just like, oh, your breath reminds me of this shit. So upset.
So gross.
Ugh. Moving on.
Yes, moving on. Well,
moving on.
I hate the fact that we have to follow up with this because this is the last week of Black History Month. Dang. I would hope for some of Black men breath mints.
Me too. Did anybody create any toothpaste?
But our Black History Facts for the week. Our last one. The first one is a fun one.
Yay, let's hear it.
Lonnie G. Johnson, he was an engineer who performed award-winning system engineering work for NASA space probes, invented the Super Soaker water gun, and it was one of the world's most popular toys in the 1980s. Through today, I'm going to say.
It's still a popular toy.
It's still super popular, but yeah. I never knew that someone Black invented the Super Soaker.
That is so cool.
And apparently, like, he was really trying to... design a water pump, like a new water pump or something like that. So he happened upon it from accident, and I guess when he was testing it out, he saw the water project across the room, and that's how the Super Soaker came to be.
Wow. I love Super Soakers.
Super Soakers are fun. Yeah. Remember those commercials?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Those commercials were always epic with the drill sergeant or the summer camp guy from the 90s. They have funny ones in the 80s too, but that one, this, I forgot what he said, but he was always,
yeah. Like, he was always upset. Yeah.
And it was always get him in the face. Pause. I'm sure that's what a guy would say if he was him.
Yeah.
But, so shout out to you, Lonnie Johnson, for creating the Super Soaker.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome.
Yeah. Our second fact is Tice Davids, a runaway slave from Kentucky, may have been the inspiration for the first usage term, Underground Railroad, though the origins of the term are shrouded in mystery. According to reports, after David swam across the Ohio River, his owner wasn't able to find him. He allegedly told the local paper that if Davids had escaped, he must have traveled on an underground railroad. Davids is thought to have made his way to Ripley, Ohio.
Oh, wow.
It's interesting.
That is very interesting.
Yeah. You know, I always wonder, like, how they came across the name of the Underground Railroad.
Yeah, me too.
So, there it is. I'm going to take that.
Yeah.
As the Underground Railroad term.
Me too.
But can you imagine, though, swimming across the Ohio River? I can imagine, first of all, swimming across a freaking pool sometimes.
That shit is daunting.
It's completely daunting. When I was in, going into seventh grade, I went to a summer camp, Camp Ingersoll in Connecticut. And it was a day camp. It was all freaking day. And one of the tests that they had, like, I went there for gymnastics. Like, you got to go there for different things, like horseback riding, tennis, whatever. So, I went there for gymnastics. So, during the beginning half of the day, you had whatever your specialized field was. And then the second half of the day, like, you got to interact with everyone in the camp.
Right.
So, they had different activities, of course, just like the regular activities. But one of the things was swimming in this lake. And I never had formal swimming lessons or anything. Okay. So, I just do what I do.
You faked it till you make it.
So one of the things, like, if you wanted to swim to a certain distance, you got, like, these like a little chip that they would say, okay, like you have your green chip, this is how far you could go, this right. how far, or to the boobies or whatever, this right. how far you can go. So I remember red was the furthest. And it was a good distance. And me not really knowing how to swim, I was like, I'm going to make it to the end. Me, I'm normally scared. So I don't even know what made me even want to do that. Girl, it took me mad long to swim to the end, but I made it.
You made it. You made it.
I made it because every single time I would get to a buoy, I would kind of just float there and be like, damn.
I still don't want to go.
I want to put Leanne doing a doggy paddle. I still, what? I'm not sure I want to do this. And I would like look back and I see the camp counselor like giving me the, you know,
the thumbs up.
So I was like, all right, let me finish. And I finally made it to the end, but I definitely booked it on the way back. Like, there's no way I'm going to be out here in this dirty ass lake that long. Getting my damn bathing suit nasty. So, I don't, you know, it's kind of, I guess a little bit off. I couldn't imagine swimming across any river.
Right.
Or anything like that. So,
kudos to you, Tice.
I'm not gonna lie. Shit, if I didn't think I was gonna make it to do that, I'm sure if I was this damn slave and I wanted to go.
Exactly. He was determined. He had a purpose. See, you were swimming without a purpose. This is like, oh, this is fun.
I made it to the end.
You did make it to the end. I couldn't give up.
Well, don't do me like that.
No. I'm not trying to do you like that.
I swim with a purpose to get to the Red Bull.
What I'm saying is that he was like, I need to get away from these slave masters. Of course he wasn't thinking like, oh God, I'm so tired. This is daunting. You know what? Being a slave was much more daunting than swimming across Ohio River. So I'm sure that was his motivation.
Yes.
That's what I said to say. I wasn't trying to say that you didn't have a purpose. You did.
I'm about to say.
You wanted to make it to the Red Buoy. And you did. You made it. You made it. I wasn't discounting.
I still want to take swimming lessons one day, like real swimming lessons.
You know, back home, in elementary school, they made us learn how to swim. They brought like one of those like portable pools, a huge pool that like took up
a portable pool,
a huge pool, yeah, that they could set up, and I don't know, just about, I don't know how many, maybe 13 feet wide, in diameter.
How deep was it, the pool?
It was very deep. It would go from shallow to deep. And they set it up in the cafeteria. Yeah.
In the cafeteria?
Mm-hmm.
In our cafeteria. Crazy down there.
And so in the second grade, everybody learns how to swim. And so they bring an instructor and you go to swim classes once a day for, I don't know, 45 minutes for a week. And they teach you how to swim there.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. So when I would meet people in Florida who would say they didn't know how to swim, I automatically knew that they weren't from Florida. I automatically knew that. They were like, I don't know how to swim. Okay, well then you didn't go to school down here. You obviously didn't go to elementary school down here because everybody learns how to swim in elementary school. Because that's what they do. I mean, we live in Florida.
In all of Florida or was it just Miami?
I don't know about all of Florida. In Miami, they did that.
Okay.
And so, but whenever I would meet somebody who would tell me that they didn't know how to swim, I said, you're not from here. You're not from Miami. I was always right because they teach you how to swim. And it's real, I mean, they get you while you're young, and then they teach you how to paddle and all of that stuff, and they first help you along. I mean, I don't know, it was really, now looking back in hindsight, the way that they taught you, it was actually pretty good, because by the end of the week, you knew how to swim across that pool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Second grade, you said?
Second grade, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, I know a lot of people now who don't know how to swim. It's funny to me when island people tell me they don't know how to swim. I'd be like, if you were living on the island, like, what would you do?
Yeah, like, were they born there or were they born here? So,
well, I've met some island people who born on the island who tell me that they don't know how to swim. Mm-hmm. I do not know how to swim when you were born on an island.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I could tell, if you tell me that you're from Chicago and you're not a swim, okay, well, you know, I don't think there's much bodies of water around there.
So. Right.
But when you tell me that you're from some coastal part of the country and you don't know how to swim, why not?
Sir, madam.
Yeah, why not? Why don't you know how to swim?
Mm-mm-mm.
Your parents didn't take you to the beach?
That could have been it. They was too busy going to work.
Working 9 to 5. Yes. I guess. But you know what? I don't want to talk about this. being that this is the end of Black History Month and our great Black History facts. However, have you heard about those chicken and waffle chips from Lay's?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so Lay's is running a contest. And so these are the three finalists are chicken and waffles, sriracha, and garlic parmesan, whatever. If you don't know what sriracha is that Asian hot sauce. That's mm-hmm. what sriracha is. So I actually wanted to try the chicken and waffle ones.
I do want to also.
However, I don't think that's going to happen for me because it has chicken flavor. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if it comes from a chicken. Or if it's or if it's synthesized chicken flavor. So I'm just going to have to stay away from
the chicken waffles. Damn, that sucks.
I'm going to have to live vicariously through you guys.
Ooh, and you know what? I don't want to do this. So now I'm going to make it the most elaborate, like,
girl. I know, like,
I'm going to eat it just like I'm going to eat some chicken.
I hope they taste nasty now.
Girl, I wish you wasn't a vegetarian.
So you got half of these chips. I bet you she gonna dip them in syrup too.
Yeah. Swirl it all around the plate. Oh, I gotta play. Let me just catch that.
But didn't somebody say that they couldn't even keep them on the shelves?
Yeah, someone said they went to the store and there was only like 2 bags left.
My goodness,
that's crazy. Because I don't even know when they came out. Like this week?
Well, I think so. I mean, I remember seeing a picture on Twitter maybe about 3 weeks ago, and I was like, "That's not real." But come to find out, they were. I thought it was Photoshop. I was like, "You niggas making stuff." I was like, "This is supposed to be Black History Month. Come on!"
First of all, I think that one was Photoshop though, because I said the one I saw said Harlem Chicken and Waffles.
And apparently, the person who created this flavor is from Phoenix. So it's not Harlem Chicken and Waffles.
Yeah, the bags at Harlem Chicken and Waffles. So I was like, who
did this?
Because Chicken and Waffles don't even sound like a New York thing to me.
It is, actually.
It is?
Yeah. I didn't think that either. I thought it was a California thing. It actually originated in Harlem.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You learn something new every day about Harlem. Yeah. Yes. And I learned that y'all are uptight about this new Harlem shake.
Oh, God. So, get over yourselves. I read that. Somebody tweeted about, oh, it's taken away from our Black history. And I was like, what?
Whoa. You've gone too far.
Way too far. You need to calm the hell down. Please go drink a cup of water and have a seat.
No special delivery app.
Okay, shit. What? Come on. I love the Harlem Shake videos, and I'm not biased because I love the Harlem Shake videos. Even if I hated them, I would not agree with this person. Stupid.
Yo, the real Harlem Shake, or I guess the original Harlem Shake. That shit was so funny. It was, both Harlem Shakes are funny to me.
Yes.
Like, the Harlem Shake, like, you cannot be serious doing either one of them. Like, you got spiders crawling up. Okay. You're holding up
your shoulder. Are you on crystal meth? Oh, my God. Are you on angel dust? Why are you so jittery? What is wrong with you?
Remember when Bowell took that over? That was, like, the end of the Harlem Shake.
That was really the end. He
killed it.
He deaded it.
He killed it.
Yeah.
They had little girls in the freaking Missy Elliott video.
Where is she now, that little white girl?
I don't know.
I remember she had started getting titties and they started to tape them down. I was like, okay. Yeah.
Shit got real.
Kids grow up. They do. And they grow breasts. So, I mean, I don't know. But yeah, she was saying how like they would tape them down when she started, because they still wanted her to have that little girl.
Dang, so she must have been an old teenager then when she was doing it, like, probably, like, 13.
Yeah, and then she started to bud.
Like, she was, that was too old to be wearing pigtails at 13. Mm,
yeah.
And she was 13.
I don't know how old she was at the
time. She was on a couple of those videos, yeah, though.
And then she was also on some Disney Channel shorts. It was a little short show. The boy was supposed to be her brother, and they would do, like, these little shorts. It was a funny show.
Yes, yeah. And they would have her on That So Raven sometimes too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she played an actress on there.
Right.
I do remember that. Yeah. Too bad. Dang. Yeah. Sound like her future was promising.
Did it sound like it was promising? So well.
Eva's Harlem Shaking too. They want to know who's that girl. La, 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 la. Say my name, y'all.
We really did Harlem Shake over here, though.
He wasn't doing or nothing.
Right.
Yo, remember she made it seem like that was so secret on her, on the Megan the video when they had that on MTV.
Did you see that?
The Harlem Shake, when she was like, okay, we about to do something.
Oh, yeah.
I remember, like,
this was a letdown.
Yeah. Thought she was going to bring on a special guest.
Right.
Ma'am.
Special delivery shit. Foolishness.
But I definitely want to try them. Those
chicken and waffle chips.
But the, what was that first flavor that you said? Not the first, but the Parmesan, the garlic Parmesan?
Yes,
garlic Parmesan. That already sound like it's a potato chip flavor by like one of those kettle cooked.
I feel like it's already a gourmet chip flavor.
Yo, what is the worst flavor potato chip that you've ever had?
I don't know. I'm usually pretty good at picking out flavors. I just know how they're going to taste. So I've never bought anything that I didn't know it was going to taste good or not. How about you?
Let me tell you one time what happened to me. It's like a month or two ago. I was at work and I was, okay, let me get some out the vending machine. Let me get these potato chips. I'm feeling kind of salty. So I forgot what the choices were, but I love kettle cooked chips.
Right.
And I think it's the brand Ken's. And there was a choice between like New York cheddar, which I've had before and it was okay, or like cheddar horseradish or something like that. Now, the numbers on in the vending machine for the New York cheddar ones, it didn't have a number on it. So in my mind, I knew like, okay, if this one is A1, this one says A5, so then this one must be A3. But I was like, I'm not gonna take that chance. And I didn't want the first pair of chips or first chips that they had, so I ended up getting the horseradish. Now I've never really had anything with horseradish on it like that. So I opened the bag, and my nostril hairs came out.
I was gonna say, did you clear your sinuses?
Yo,
as soon as you opened the bag.
It was painful for me to eat those chips.
Ooh.
Like, every bite I took, it was like, I felt like I was in a Ren and Stimpy commercial. Like, a cartoon.
That shit like, was, you could see the smell?
That shit was crazy. It hurt so bad. Like,
oh, my God.
My brain hurt.
It was painful to eat the chips.
I'm ashamed because I ate that whole thing. I was like, I said, I spent 75 cents. I'm gonna get my 75 cents worth. I had people in my job was like, yo, try these chips. And she was like, oh, they're so disgusting. Well, I can't get the taste out of my mouth. Oh. Yuck, how did you do these? Why are you still eating them? And I'm like, listen, I paid for them. I'm a little hungry.
I need a snack.
I'm gonna finish eating them. But after every bite, I was like, oh, it hurts. Oh, my nose. Like, it was bad. Like, never. Don't try those horseradish chips. It's in an orange bag.
It's just horseradish?
It's like cheddar horseradish. So it's horseradish cheese. I think it's called cheddar horseradish, but it's something horseradish.
Could you taste the cheddar?
No.
I don't think you could.
All you taste was the horseradish. Yeah. Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah. So, if I had a cold, that shit would have been knocked right out.
I can imagine. Horseradish is heavy duty.
My nose hurts so bad. And I was asking people afterwards, like, does your nose hurt? And someone was like, I can't really smell. I was like, this shit didn't knock out your sinuses. I don't have a cold. I don't have no sinuses like whatsoever. Like, what? It was one of the worst decisions of my life.
Oh, my goodness.
Of my life.
Ugh. Yeah, I've never had bad chips.
No, I've had bad chips before, but that one by far was...
Oh, no. Was so I've never had chips that I didn't like.
I've never met a chip that I didn't like.
However, I've never tried pickle-flavored chips.
Yuck.
Yeah, exactly. So when I see something like that, I'm like, no. I'm not going to have strawberry-flavored potato chips because I know that they're going to be gross. I already know that. Until somebody else tastes them, like, no, girl, they taste real good. Okay, then I'll try them, maybe. But if I, just putting the two flavor, you know, in my head, I'm like, strawberry and potato, no, not going to taste good.
Yeah, I'm not doing that again.
Nope. Not doing it again.
No. Never.
Never.
And it was, you know, you kind of, like, have in your mind, like, I shouldn't have never even grabbed those because they were, it was like no one else was choosing that.
Right.
Like, there was
the row was full.
Yeah, it was like plenty of horseradish chips.
That's a telltale sign right
That's a telltale.
You should have been like, you know what?
I want to be different. Maybe I want to be different.
Oh, you Libras don't want to be different.
Right?
I want to
be different. Because what if I did like it? Because then I'd be like, wow.
Oh, you wanted to be, check you out, Columbus.
I'm a potato chip pioneer.
There you go. You're trying to be Columbus. Ah. Y'all ain't know nothing about these cheddar horseradish chips. This is fire in my nose and my brain.
Yo. How you have brain freeze without eating anything cold?
Oh my goodness.
What the hell? Mm-hmm. But getting off of potato chips, one of my favorite groups of all time, girl groups. They're finally getting their own movie. TLC. Yeah, and they have the people who are gonna play them. So Lil Mama is gonna be T-Boz. And Kiki Palmer is going to be Chili.
No, she's going to be
Left Eye. I'm sorry, Left Eye. Yes. And Drew Sidora is going to be T-Boz.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Boring. Not watching it. You know what? I'll probably watch it just to make fun of it. Because I know everybody on Twitter is going to watch it. And I love watching TV with you guys.
Yes. TV family time.
Yes.
I'm gonna watch it, but I just want to know, like, what else can they really tell us that hasn't been told already? Because I feel like they've already had, what, the Behind the Music.
Right.
With them. They've also had the special after Left Eye died. They had the Left Eye special before she passed.
Right.
Then the special after she passed.
Right.
And then they also had, like, an amendment to the Behind the Music.
Right.
So, and then T-Boz had her own show. Chili had her own show. So it's like, I don't understand what more could you possibly tell us about this group.
Exactly.
Oh, don't forget they tried to replace Left Eye, but they had that reality show where they wanted to get...
To get a third group member.
So, I'm not really sure what else that they can bring about for this TLC movie that we have not heard already.
Neither can I.
That's the only thing that I'm concerned about. Because, I mean, we saw when TLC came up with Pebbles starring them. Right. And we saw them go through the bankruptcy. We saw them burn on the house. We saw a relationship with Dallas Austin. We saw her get married to Mac 10. So I'm telling you everything
right now. We saw Chili's relationship with Usher, with her younger man.
Right.
We saw all of that.
So, it'll be interesting to see what more that they could tell us about this girl group.
Exactly.
So, people are up in arms about T-Boz being... Why keep saying T-Boz?
I don't know.
Left Eye being played by Lil Mama. I don't know if it's because of looks. Maybe that's why. I'm not really sure.
I don't think she looks like her at all.
She doesn't like her. Mm-hmm. But she's a good dancer. In fact, she's probably a better dancer than Left Eye.
Yeah, but did Left Eye really dance like that?
They all danced. They had to dance somewhat, you know? Yeah, but they didn't,
they weren't popping and locking and doing all the stuff that Lil Mama, I mean, I would give Lil Mama that. Lil Mama know how to dance?
Yeah, she does know how to dance. She's a really good dancer.
I mean, for them to cast her just because of that,
I don't know why they cast her, and I think it's cool that we're going to see Kiki Palmer in something else other than playing, like, you know,
True Jackson,
or Akila, or like a wholesome.
I want to win the national spelling bee. I always be saying that. Every time I see her, I always say that.
Or something wholesome.
True.
But the thing with me is, yo, I used to be the biggest TLC fan.
So was I.
That
I actually have all their albums.
That you can find. Yes. I had the tape on the TLC tape.
Yes, I had the tape.
I used to play that, like, not even, my mom loves TLC. Like,
my mom does too. That's funny, yeah.
Everyone loves TLC. Like, they were such a fun group.
Right.
Especially when they first came out, like, they were just great. And chili was my favorite. And when What Chili Wants came out, she quickly became my non-favorite. Like, I didn't like, actually, I didn't like none of them. I was like, you know what, forget about all these TLCs.
Forget about them.
Because Chili was whack. So, I think I'm more mad that she has to play someone who is whack. Yo, remember she was on Sally just right there trying to find her father?
Chili?
Yeah. I was crazy and he died. I was like, what is this even? This doesn't even sound right. That was so weird. I don't know. But Chili just grew up to be just a whack individual. Unfortunately.
She sounds really boring. She's on this show right now, that chef, celebrity chef thing.
Chingsook?
I don't know. I don't watch it. I don't know if she's still on it, like if she hasn't gotten voted off yet or booted off. But I know, I remember I saw commercials for her to be on that celebrity chef cooking show.
T-Boss was on Celebrity Apprentice at one point, too.
Yeah. Did she win?
I don't think so.
Meh.
Yeah. It's going to be on VH1.
Okay.
So, at least it's not going to be in the theaters. That's all I got to say. Right. I would not be spending my money.
Yeah, that feels, it feels VH1 movie, Lifetime movie-ish.
Yeah. Nope, I'm going to wait till that shit comes on VH1.
Yeah. Exactly.
Catch it when it's the hour end.
Right, I'm not in a rush to get a pre-screening. No, it's cool. Whatever.
I don't know when it's going to come out, but when it comes out, we're definitely going to be entertained, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
And laugh.
Yeah, I know we're going to have loads of laughs.
Kiki might be overacting.
A lot.
I like her because, you know, she's cute and everything, but you're not feeling her like that? You can take it either way?
No.
I feel like we're supposed to like her. That's why I like her.
Oh, I don't like her because of that then. You're not going to tell me who I got to like. No, because, like, she... Because, you know, iCarly... Because I love iCarly now. At first, I didn't like it because they used to fuss all the time. But the show would come on after or before iCarly. I don't know. And I just, like, the True Jackson show. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt, she's an over-actor.
Yeah.
It's just like, calm down. It's really,
yeah, she was the brown Raven Simone.
Right.
She had to feel like she was trying to step into her shoes.
Right, that's what I felt
like
as well.
Like once that Saw Raven went on.
Right. And I felt like they were trying to recreate that magic and get that.
T-R-U-E. Yeah.
Right. And no, that Saw Raven, it, you know, by luck, it did really well. And sorry that you guys... you know, tried to follow that formula. It didn't work for you.
Mm-mm.
Sorry.
Whatsoever.
Yeah.
Too bad. But yeah, I guess we'll see when it comes out how it's going to be.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we clearly don't know much about Juicy Lore because we ain't say shit about her.
I don't know, not a name, but I know her face. If it wasn't for Ari telling me that she was on The Game, which is a show that I didn't watch.
Oh, you didn't watch The Game?
I didn't watch The Game. Mm-mm. I didn't, maybe I watched one episode. And I
The Game was good. You didn't like it?
Mm-mm.
Oh, man.
No, I like the English version better.
The English version?
That's where it came from.
Really? Mm-hmm. You would like the English version better.
Yeah. The English version was better. It was funnier.
Didi wish she was born across the pond.
Man, tell me, what? If I was only English. I know it was English in another life.
I don't think I can really speak with a British accent, but I'm not going to try to here. Maybe one day I can.
Oh, do you speak any other languages, though?
Well, I, speak French. Apo.
Apo. I speak French. Apo.
Yes.
Oh, hey, that's, Fringlish. Actually, Ari and I are on a quest to learn French.
Yes, become Francophile.
Yes. Francophiles, because I'm already an Anglophile, so now I'm a Langophile. I like languages. I love learning new languages.
Mm-hmm.
I speak English, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I speak Spanish.
Oh.
Yes, yo hablo español. And I speak Creole.
Oh,
which
you
is
out.
Very similar to French. Both my parents speak French, so, you know, but we never spoke in the house, and so that's why I didn't learn French, but, after working at a European-owned company and listening to all the people speak French and whatever, like, even the English people, like, that's so funny to me how, like, all the, like, in England, like, it's taught to speak, you know, French is taught there. And so, like, everybody was just speaking French to each other, and I'm just like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, because we had, at my old job, I had coworkers that, you know, all over the globe. There were people in England, there were people in France, there were people in Spain. And one thing that they all had in common was that they all spoke French.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I believe, like, I think French is like one of the official languages of the United Nations. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, because when they were in, even when they were in, where were, the Olympics were in England, right? Mm-hmm. When they were there, when they were doing the translations, they only did the translations in French.
Really?
Yeah, I was listening. Yeah, so when the guy, you know, whatever, the announcer would talk, then there was somebody doing a translation. It was in French. Hmm. In England. And I was like, well, what about the people who speak Spanish? But that's because they all speak French over there.
That's interesting. Yeah. I really didn't know that.
Yeah. So, yeah, French is the official language of the United Nations. And I just think it's a beautiful language.
It is.
It's beautiful. Well, I think all the Romance languages are really beautiful. Portuguese, yeah. French, Spanish.
Portuguese sounds like Spanish.
Yeah, it does. I started to learn a little bit of Portuguese. I would say that Portuguese is like the mezclave of Spanish and French, because Portuguese is so like sweet on the tongue when you're speaking it, but it does have it's very similar to Spanish, I would mm-hmm. say. But I love it. I love Portuguese. I love French. Italian's another beautiful
language. Yeah, that's language. Hot.
Yeah.
Very hot. They're all hot.
Very
sexy
hot.
Sexy languages.
Sexy romance languages. I love them. So what made you want to learn French?
You know what? I always wanted to learn French when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And I think it was because... Because
of Muzzy?
Because you not, you see, whatever they say. I have no clue.
What they say? You did the movement!
Dang, so shit just sticks with you, huh?
You did the movement for the commercial, the little boy. I don't remember what he said, but he did do it, so. I wish you guys were in the cat house with us so you could see.
But I remember, like, back when I was... like in the 90s, whatever, before Spanish came along, like French was like the language of yeah, the world.
Right.
And I wanted to learn it. And I remember my mom had gotten me this book. This is when I was like 10. She got me this book, of how to speak French. And it was books like that back then. Mad confusing. That shit caught all the dust on the bookshelf. That's cool. I wasn't learning anything. But, yeah, that's what I wanted to go to France. Like, that was my goal, like, when I was younger. Like, I'm going to go to Paris one day. I have no clue why. I knew I was just going to go. Ended up going. I did study abroad for a month in France. And I took a beginner class at the University of Paris. And I took phonetics. And it was... Being 20, I was 20 at the time, and trying to learn a language, it was kind of hard. Like, a lot of the words in English are similar because they come from Latin. French language or mm-hmm. whatever. But it was still, the confusing thing about French to me is getting, like, everything right. Like, it is a little bit sometimes nasally when they say words, and just getting, it was a little confusing. I didn't do that bad. Shit, I got my certificate, that's all that matters.
You got your certificate.
I passed phonetics. but I've always wanted to get back and learning how to speak French, because I do think it is very pretty.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful language. I would say that I, you know, since Creole is like a broken French, I definitely have a little bit of an upper hand as far as learning it, because I can, the phonetics are...
She's cheating, y'all.
Oh, I'm not cheating! Because I definitely don't know the conjugations. I don't know those.
Cheetah, pumpkin, tail.
Not in the French accent. So I don't know the conjugations, past tense, participle, subject, what, all that other stuff. It gets confusing. It's so difficult. And then as far as like, even, you know, knowing Spanish, you'd think it would give me, like, an upper hand. But no, it just confuses me more, because sometimes I'll start to think I'm, you know, trying to think in French, And then Spanish comes out, and I say the wrong thing, and I pronounce it wrong. I'm pronouncing it. I'm saying something in Spanish, but with a French accent. Like, no. So that's my only thing as far as, like, learning the language. But now I've been asking my mother whenever I talk to her. It's like, you need to speak in French only.
Aww, that's cute.
I don't understand half of the things that you're saying to me. I mean, I feel like if I just immerse myself into it, that'll be a good way for me to learn it. However, I'm one of those people who needs to, I need audio and visual.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, especially with all the conjugations, in French, it's definitely different from Spanish in the fact that you can conjugate something and it all sounds the same. It's just because, it's just spelled differently. So, je comprends, tu comprends, il comprend, elle comprend, like, but it's all, the last letter is spelled, is different.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I don't know what the letters are. Like, I think it's S for me, and it's T for two, and E for L, you know? And so that's where it's different. Like, in Spanish, it's, the endings are very different.
Yeah.
For, in Spanish, it's like, yo siento, tú sientes, el, you know, siente. Yeah. It's
but
different.
But that's like for everything, though.
Right. So that's the only thing with French. That's why I need to be able to see it and hear it.
Yo, it's so funny to say that you had tweeted "Je ne comprends pas" because mm-hmm. that was like the only that was a phrase that I used all that whole month I was there. I used "Je m'appelle Ariel" and "Je ne comprends pas." That was just so you could know,
right?
If you were asking me if you had change. If your mom was asking for change, oh, je ne comprends pas. Sorry.
And, you know, trying to learn it as an adult, they say it's easier for children to grasp a language.
Yeah,
because their brains are a lot more moldable, and so they're able to learn the phonetics. It's going to be a lot easier for them to learn the phonetics and repeat it back as opposed to an adult who's already got their schematas as far as language is concerned already built in their brain, so it's hard for them to veer off and learn new languages because of that, because
right.
they're already quote-unquote set in their ways as far as language is concerned.
I remember when I was in like elementary school, middle school, there would be kids who would speak Spanish, like they were Puerto Rican or mm-hmm. whatever, and they would speak Spanish, but they would take Spanish classes, and I would be like, why are you guys even taking Spanish when you speak Spanish so well? And they wouldn't do that well. Some people wouldn't do that well
right.
on the test because they just weren't used to spelling it.
Exactly.
And that kind
exactly,
of thing.
Exactly, exactly. You can, you know, spelling it is completely different from
mm-hmm.
speaking it. And you know what? I find, as a matter of fact, well, somebody who was temping at my job was saying, she said that she didn't know how to read Spanish. She was like, I know how to speak it, but as far as, you know, texting or reading it, you know, in Spanish, I can't do that. Because she was like, her grammar and spelling is completely off because there's accent marks and this and that and that and this. So
being illiterate crosses all languages.
Right, it definitely does. So you can definitely, you know the language and whatever, some of the rules, however, when it comes to writing it and reading it, it's completely different. But they say, according to this infographic, we love infographics on Catnip Patagonia.
They're so informative.
They really are. So we looked up what are some of the hardest / easiest languages to learn. And guess what's on the easy? Français. Yeah, so most of the Romance languages are on here as far as easy. And they say to achieve language proficiency, it takes 23 to 24 weeks. And then, so basically about 575 hours to 600 hours of practice in total, and you could be proficient in these languages. Espanol,
mm-hmm.
Portuguese,
mm-hmm.
Francais, Italiano, Romania, the Netherlands, they speak Dutch, Swedish, Afrikaans, and Norwegian, which is Norsk.
Those don't sound like they'd be sexy to me.
Norsk, I don't think.
I want to whisper something sexy in your ear.
But they speak French in Sweden, so. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's their official language, is French.
Really?
In Sweden. Let's look it up. I think it is.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know, in Belgium they speak French.
Yeah, they speak it everywhere. Yeah, so, French is the second language of Sweden.
Oh.
Yeah, because you know what? I've never met anybody who was Swedish that didn't speak French.
Okay.
Yeah, they usually speak French. So back to the infographic. Okay, so medium difficulty, it would take 44 weeks to get proficient in this language. And basically you need 1,100 hours, class hours. There's Hindi.
All right.
Russian.
Ooh.
Vietnamese. Turkish. Polish. Thai. Serbian. Greek. Hebrew. And Finnish.
Serbian. Serbian's not a dead language or anything.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever met Serbian.
Whoa.
Yeah. So those are the medium difficulty. Oh, and here come the hard. Whoa. What? To achieve language proficiency, 88 weeks. 1.69 years.
Wow.
2 years to become proficient in one language.
Wow.
And 2,200 class hours.
Not doing it.
Ooh. So here's on the list. Arabic, Chinese, Japanese, and Korean.
Wow. Check out those Asian languages.
Yeah. They're, you know what? I find that, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful or anything, but like, Asian languages, they're usually a little bit harder on the ears. And I'm going to guess that's why they call the, you know, Spanish, Portuguese, France, the romance languages, because they're so beautiful, very sweet on the ears. I don't know. I'm just going to refrain from even, you know, saying anything derogatory against any Asian language. However, they are a lot harder on the ears.
I used to work with Chinese people, and I was in Chinatown, and I used to work in a store. People would, customers would say, like, oh, wow, like, you know, they speak Chinese all, you know, all the time here. Oh, you must be learning a lot. I'm like, I know nothing. I listen. One word, everything sounds, I don't know.
I don't know.
That's all they would say, I don't know.
Right.
Like, I don't pick up anything of anything that they were saying.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you, all I knew was ni hao.
Did you learn that from Kai Lan?
Huh?
Did you learn that from Kai Lan?
Who's that?
You never heard of that show?
My coworkers. No. That little ball boy?
No.
Oh, that's Caillou.
That's Caillou.
No, oh, it's there shit. Is a, that's a Caillou. I'm thinking I'm smart.
There is an Asian version of Dora the Explorer, and the name of the show is Ni Hao Kai Lan. I think she's Chinese.
No.
And she teaches you Chinese.
No.
Yeah.
No,
but she's so cute. She's much cuter than Dora the Explorer.
Dora got a football head like ain't her no.
Oh my god, she's so annoying.
Yeah, I learned nothing from my coworkers except for Niao. Yeah. And that was about it. And they would really try to like sometimes teach me. Because there was one point I was like, one of y'all gotta adopt me because first of all, y'all are great with money. Number two is like, I just want to know what y'all talking about.
Right.
So Wednesday, I was like, I need you someone to teach me Chinese. So I had a day of learning Chinese, but they mostly taught me Chinese customs. I think it's because they didn't want to teach me what the hell they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
So
they taught you a cuss word.
So, no. Customs.
Oh, customs. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Customs. Like, you know, take off your shoes when you come inside. If they serve you soup, you have to drink all the soup. I remember that. But I was like, no, I need to learn some phrases.
Some words.
I need to learn some words so I can see if y'all talking about me. Mm-hmm. You feel me?
Okay.
But yeah, sure. I think it'll probably take me 10 years to
to learn Chinese. Or any of
you know what? Maybe I'm just going to watch some old Bruce Lee movies. If I wanted to. No disrespect. I'm being serious. I can't read lips, so that's not gonna be a problem for me because they dubbed their shit over.
Right. yeah. I don't think I could.
If I really wanted to.
Yeah. I remember a friend of mine, she was taking Japanese in college. It was funny because they had a lot of English words in their language. Like
really?
Hamburger. And stuff like that.
I mean, stuff like that probably because it doesn't easily translate. And hamburger is something that...
I was like, girl, you're taking English.
That's too.
You ain't even taking no damn Japanese. I was like, this is hamburger. She was like, okay. Because I was helping her with flashcards, you know, so she could take her test. So I had these flashcards. And I remember there were like 3 or 4 words. But hamburger is the one that stood out to me the most. And I was like, hamburger. She's like, hamburger. And I was like, why is this even on a flashcard? Get this out of here.
You wasted a damn car.
Why did you write that on here? Did you have to write it in special characters? Bitch, this says hamburger. What the fuck? I was so mad.
That's funny that you said that because I had a roommate my freshman year who was also learning Japanese, but she totally immersed herself, like, listen, she a dunk tape into Japanese.
Into Japan. Did she come out of her room wearing kimonos and yo, stuff?
She had, this was, wait, I started college in 2003. She had freaking DDR, Dance Dance Revolution. She went to the Asian market. She got Asian candy.
Oh, my God.
She created the Japanese pop culture clubs. You have people come to our dorms. They will watch anime in addition to her just taking Japanese class. And she actually ended up doing study abroad in Japan, too.
Oh, well, good for her.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool that she was like, she was wearing a kimono hat.
I can imagine.
At one point.
Check her out.
Danielle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I would ever be motivated to learn one of the Asian languages. I don't think they're pretty.
Unfortunately, no.
Not on the ears. But you know what? I could say the same for any of the Anglo languages, like German and Dutch, even English. It's a little hard on the ears. It's not hard for us because we speak English.
Right, right, right.
But in comparison to the quote-unquote romance languages.
That's why we have to sound husky when we talk sometimes to make it sound sexy.
Right. With you know, French.
How does that voice sound?
Yeah. That's sexy. I mean, like I was saying, and when we went to, because we did a meetup. We went to a French.
It was a failed meetup.
Yeah, it was failed because we barely spoke any French there. But I was saying how, like, you could tell somebody to kiss your ass in French, and they'd be like, uh-huh, yeah. The way to say kiss your ass in French is baise ma derrière.
Baise ma derrière.
See how beautiful that is? Shit, anybody want to kiss your ass if you tell them like that? Shoot. But, yeah, you tell somebody to kiss your ass in English, it don't sound that pretty.
Kiss my ass!
Kiss my ass!
I sound like Whitney.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, so we're trying to learn French, and maybe one day we will both be fluent and be able to parler français.
Listen, I think it's possible.
It's definitely possible.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
Possible. So, we are gonna get better. And now that I have my library card,
hey,
we can go and get our free lessons that they have on their web database.
Raising their roof.
Yes. Raise their roof. I don't know how to say it in French. I'll learn someday.
Probably
in
roof.
Between 23 to 24 weeks. And after about 600 hours of practice, I'm sure I'll be able to say raise
the
roof.
What the hell?
Right. Craziness, right? But they say that some brains are better at learning languages than the other.
Ooh, I believe it.
Yeah. Because there was this one kid, I think he was from New York, right? Who, like, learned, you know, yeah. A 16-year-old boy from New York had taught himself Hebrew, Arabic, Russian, Swahili, and a dozen of other languages.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa, kid.
Wow. Did he do math? What about science?
Right. Did you have time to do your homework learning all these languages? What are you doing? What are you doing, little boy? But this 16-year-old kid taught himself all these languages. And even though they don't know how fluent he is, Timothy is his name.
And learning the movie.
Yeah. he was a high school sophomore. And along with other polyglots like him, and polyglot is someone who speaks a lot of languages, they're certainly different from most Americans who speak maybe, you know, one or maybe two languages. And so they say that this raises the question, is there something unique about certain brains which allows some people to speak and understand so many more languages than the rest of us? And experts say that the answer seems to be yes and no.
What would you say? It's complicated.
For some people, genes may prime the brain to be good at language learning, according to some new research. And studies are just starting to pinpoint a few brain regions that are extra large or extra efficient in people who excel at languages. They're in this article, it's like one of those things where, like, you can read misspelled words, but that's because your brain already knows how to put the words, like, scramble the words and put them into the right order, and that's why you're able to read it. Mm. And so in that same region, basically, if it's bigger and more developed, you are more likely to be able to learn more languages and actually keep them? Because you were there for a month and you got your phonetic certificate. However, how much French would you say that you know? Seriously, what would you give yourself?
You know what? I feel like if I were to read
Don't be hard on yourself, because I feel like you speak more French than you let on.
I think I do too.
Yeah.
I think I'll probably be able to read it more than speaking it. Right.
Okay. Yeah, so they're saying that this area in the brain, if you have a more developed area, that part of the brain, if it's more developed, you're more likely to be able to pick up and speak a language than other people. So, it apparently brains can determine if you're
going to be good at it. I want to be one of those people.
Yeah, me too. Shoot, I'm just going to develop my brain. How about that?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to exercise my brain with lumosity.
My brain's doing their Kegels.
Ooh. Ooh la la. But remember when they finally named African American slang?
Was that like 96?
Right, and they called it Ebonics. Where did that name even come from?
Yeah, where did that come from?
I don't even know, but
Ebonics. That shit was so whack.
Is it like, I don't even know if it's like universal.
The official language.
Like what?
Of black people.
Of black people.
What?
White history classes. Shit. On the topic.
Yes.
Ebonics.
How to be fluent in Ebonics.
Do you think that you even, do you speak Ebonics?
It sounds crazy.
Right?
It really sounds crazy. Do I speak Ebonics? It's like.
You speak English, right?
I speak English. Yeah. Like, what the hell? You know, everywhere you go is different. Like, everyone is going to have their own type of slang.
And I feel like people who are not of color have their own slangs as well.
Like what?
I don't know what white people talk. I don't speak that. I don't speak white people Ebonics. Or non-black people Ebonics. I don't speak that. So, gnarly and tubular are now in the dictionary, so I can't use those words. But I'm sure we could go onto Urban Dictionary and find some words that white people like to use.
Shit, I mean, people all around, we even misuse the word like all the time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's not even just a white people specific word or anything. So, man, get out of here with that Ebonics.
Please, please go away.
Do people even still say that? Do you think older people do?
Older people say that people speak Ebonics?
Do you think so?
I hope not.
I really hope not too.
I hope that's a dead language. Bring Latin back. Kill this shit.
They was really hitting Ebonics heavy though. People
right. Were they even like teaching it in school at one point?
Who was teaching them in Ebonics?
I feel like.
Lord Jesus, I hope not.
I feel like
Sweet Brown, don't let them. Sweet Brown, don't let them.
So, do you think that you speak with an accent?
I've been told I speak with an accent, but.
Which accent from where?
Lord, I've been told that I speak with a southern accent. I'm told I speak with a California accent. I'm sure you guys might agree. Because sometimes I feel like I do maybe probably speak with somewhat of a California.
Right.
Kind of, I don't know, twang. Now, I've only been there twice in my life. So, I couldn't really tell you. Before I moved to New York, I remember my father actually told me, he goes, you know, sometimes I don't understand what the hell you're saying because you sound like you're from New York. Like what?
Where's your daddy from?
My father, he's from South Carolina, okay. But he moved up here when he was younger, though. So it's like I don't even know how it's still come on because both my parents are actually from South Carolina. My mom, you would not to be able to tell like whatsoever. She doesn't
have a southern accent.
She doesn't have a southern accent. Like I guess you would probably say that she doesn't sound black.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, so I guess because she speaks properly. I guess that's what, you know, what you say. Mm-hmm. You speak proper English, so that means you speak white or whatever. Right. So it's completely different. My father, he sounds like a little bit like he's from the South, but he also just sounds like he's hood a little, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Those are places people have said that they thought I was from. The South, California, and apparently New York.
Yeah, I mean, of course, if and when, you know, I'm from the South, and so I know that I can dip into my twang every now and then.
Yes, you can.
So, but for the most part, especially for people up here who are not really familiar with Southern accents, people are like, oh, where are you from? Are you from Georgia? Are you from Alabama? No, I'm not from any of those places. And the thing is, because I'm from the South, I can tell the difference. Like, the Miami slang don't sound nothing like people from Georgia. People from Georgia talk like this. It's very slow. It's a little bit different. I don't sound like that. People from Alabama, they talk like this. Of course, all of you northern people, it sounds like jibber jabber, whatever. It all sounds the same. But I can definitely tell the subtle differences between people from Alabama, Tennessee, North Carolina, Virginia. I'm not even going to give it much to Virginia because it's only like southern Virginia. Because once you start getting up to where it's closer to Maryland, they sound like right. people from, you know, up north. But people are always confusing me, definitely, for some state that's not Florida.
Yeah, we just be saying anything.
Yeah, because you guys can't hear it.
Let me just pick one.
Yeah, someplace from the South.
Let me just say a southern state that I know.
Right,
or
right.
that I've been to.
Right. Any place that's south of the Mason-Dixon line, I'm going to pick one of them, and that's where you're from. But no, so, yeah. And then when I lived in, you know, living in Florida, and, you know, I'm from the islands. My parents are from the islands. And so they're just used to their parents not really speaking English very well. But both my parents speak English very well. So a lot of the people, when I would tell them, you know, my mom's Haitian, and they're like, no, she's not. Because they weren't used to a Haitian person not talking like this. Every, you know, not to be disrespectful, but you know how Haitians are. Y'all know how they are. Especially my Haitian people. I know y'all laughing. My mom definitely doesn't talk like that. She sounds like, for a Haitian diaspora child, they would think that she speaks English very well. But to an American, they'd probably hear an accent like maybe she came from like the Bahamas or something like that. They wouldn't be able to pinpoint it. They would just know that she's definitely not from the United States because she has a little bit of a Caribbean twang. But yeah. So when I was in Miami, people would not believe that my parents were from the island. I'm just like, oh. I'm not from anywhere.
I have to prove myself.
I'm going to prove myself to you guys.
I'm an American.
That's what I am. So, yeah, but it's funny. Only anytime I meet somebody from up here, and if I'm conscious about it. I'm definitely conscious about my accent. I always put on, I have my corporate voice that I speak in, and it's very proper. I definitely don't get into my, you know, my Miami twang, but if I'm with my friends, I talk the way that I want to talk.
Right. You know what's funny, though? When you put on your corporate voice, it's like there is obviously no distinction because your corporate voice probably sound like my corporate voice, sound like my mama corporate voice. Right. You know what I mean? So it's like there's no where did this come from?
Right.
It's like there's just corporate America.
Corporate America. Actually, you know what? You ever hear the lady that comes on? We're sorry. The number you've reached is not in service. She is the, what's the word I'm looking for? They picked her voice because she sounded the most American.
Like the standard?
The standard. She didn't have any accents, anything like that. Like, that's the way that American English is supposed to sound. And they say mostly you can find those people in, like, Nebraska, Colorado.
Ah,
that's where they're from. Okay. They speak English without an accent.
Got it.
Yeah.
That makes sense, because I
think that's where she was from, so I think she was from Nebraska.
I wouldn't think that there's any kind of accent in Utah, or, yeah, Colorado, Seattle, Washington. Like,
right.
I don't think there was North Dakota, like Dakotas.
Yeah.
Anything like that.
Yeah.
Montana. So. I just feel like y'all just talk burger. Like, you know, just
meat,
bison.
Meat.
Right. Woods.
Get that cattle.
If y'all talk at all.
Right. So, but she's the American standard for English,
okay.
The operator lady.
Dang. You know what's crazy is that, do we even have her anymore?
Yeah, if you use a regular phone.
Shit. Who uses a regular phone?
I do at work. That's it. It's the only time I use a regular phone.
Wow.
Yeah.
So most people don't even hear what,
right.
you know, what
the American standard of English is. Yeah. You know what? It's funny. The other day I called someone and I got a busy signal. And I was like, oh my God, I don't even know when's the last time I heard that. Like, when's the last time you heard a busy signal or that fast busy signal? Yes. Like, I was like, oh my, what
is fast busy signal? Weird.
It was weird. Woo. What? Oh, woo. This is creepy. What's going on? Yeah. But, you know, on the same topic of languages, though.
Yes.
For the Valentine's show, we talked about the 5 love languages.
Yes.
And the guy who wrote that book, he also has a book called The 5 Languages of Apology.
Hmm.
Yeah. So you can go on and, you know, figure out what it is that you like as far as apology. And the 5 different languages of apology are expressing regret, accepting responsibility, making restitution, genuinely repenting, and requesting forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the 5. So here's an example for each one. Expressing regret, you want somebody to say to you, I'm sorry. If you want somebody to accept responsibility, you want this person to say to you, I was wrong. If you are a person who likes them to make restitution, you want them to come to you and say, what can I do to make it right? If you want genuinely repenting, or if that's the apology language that you speak, you want them to come to you and say, I'll try not to do that again. And the 5th one, if you want them to request forgiveness, you want them to say to you, will you please forgive me?
Mm-hmm.
For me, my... languages of apology, if I could find my test results. I don't know where they are. But, oh, there they are. Mine, I got a 9 in expressing regret, 6 in accepting responsibility, a 4 in making restitution, 1 in genuinely repenting, and a 0 in requesting apology.
Wow.
Yeah. So for me, I want you to express regret.
Me, I took the quiz as well, and the one that I got the most on was accepting responsibility. Yeah, I got like a 7 mm-hmm. on that one, and then the next one was the 6, and it was making restitution. Yeah, and honestly, that wasn't even that important to me. I just feel like if you admit you're wrong, that is the first step into making it right.
Right.
At least with me it is.
Right.
Because I feel like so many times you can be upset with someone and you can tell them how you feel and they can repeat everything back to you and say what they did, but it doesn't mean that they might not think that they were wrong.
Right.
And that's the part that really bugs me.
Right.
About something. It's like, you don't even think what you did was wrong.
Exactly.
And it's like, you could have did something that was completely out of line, completely messed up, and I just feel like, everyone has to accept some kind of responsibility for their actions.
That was my second highest one.
So yeah, that I could completely see why that is the most important.
Yeah, that's definitely important for me. And that's the thing, though. I think that Gary Chapman, that's his name. That's the name of the doctor who writes the book. He has a PhD. I think it's smart because the thing is, for some people, they may, for when you do them wrong, they may not be the kind of person who, you know, needs somebody to express regret for them to feel, you know, that the person apologized to them. They might be the person who wants you to make restitution. Me, I don't really care about making restitution. Mm-hmm. I don't really care about you. Like, if you broke something, you're going to buy it back. I don't care about that. I want you to express regret. Like, I'm really sorry for breaking that. I really didn't mean to. I broke it. I want you to accept the responsibility for breaking whatever it was and actually feel bad about breaking it. Like, I can buy you another one. No, that's not going to fix it. That doesn't make me feel better. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make me feel better. And, you know, I think it's important in that same sense that you find out how, I mean, there are hundreds of people in the, you know, hundreds of million people in the world, so you're not going to be able to, billions of people in the world, excuse me, you're not going to be able to learn everybody's language, apology language, but I think the people who matter to you most I think it's important for you to learn their apology languages so that they can actually feel that you said sorry. Because like you said, it means absolutely nothing to you if the person doesn't accept responsibility for doing wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just like, they could say sorry or whatever, buy you something. It's just like, that doesn't mean shit. Because I want you to accept responsibility for what you did.
Because to me, I really feel like if, let's say, someone breaks something of mine and they happen to buy me another one, I feel like if they do that same thing again, they're just going to cover it up with buying something again.
Exactly.
Not learning their lesson.
Right, right, right.
And it's just like, oh, you didn't take anything away from
exactly from that from exactly exactly. And if you guys, you know, want to find out what your love language or your apology language is, you can just type it into Google.
Dun, dun, dun.
If you guys could see my face when I said it, just type it into Google and just type in the apology language, and then there's like a short little survey that they ask you. I think it's about 25 questions. And they ask you a series of different questions, like, if this happened to you, what would you want?
So wordy, those questions.
Yeah, very wordy. It's like, look, I just want the person to tell me that they were wrong. Yeah,
but you,
and accept responsibility.
The funny thing was, when I was taking the quiz, is I was really applying it to each situation.
Right.
So for some of the questions, it was like, okay, if a loved one did this or if a coworker did this, in half of my brain, I'm like, I don't even care what a coworker thinks. You know
right,
what I mean?
Exactly.
Because, they don't come home with me. I don't
right.
see them every... I'll,
exactly.
I mean, you know, I see them a lot. Like, I'm not saying my coworkers don't mean much to me, but they're not gonna mean much to me.
Yeah.
Like that.
Not in that sense where it would really bother me.
Yeah. Like,
however, if they did, you know, did do something wrong, I need you... At the very least, I need you to accept responsibility. I think that's, at the very least, I need someone just... Even though expressing regret was a big one for me, if it's somebody who's a coworker and they did something wrong and it's time for them to apologize, I need them to at least accept responsibility. If it's someone who I'm not as close with. If it's someone that I'm close to, you know, expressing regret and accepting responsibility is definitely a big thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Making restitution, and then the other one I did... requesting forgiveness. Will you please forgive me? Get out of here.
Yeah, right, right.
Go somewhere.
Yeah, this is not a Sex and the City episode.
Right. Who are you, big? Get out of here. Boo! To the face. Like, get out. And genuinely repenting, I'll try not to do that again.
No. You
just don't.
You're not even making an effort.
Right. Just don't.
I'll try.
Just don't.
Out of my face.
That's one thing about me. If you're going to apologize for something, mean it. Don't just say sorry
make it real.
Yeah. I don't want, if you're not really sorry, if you don't, you know what? And I'm in, you know, maybe I'm atypical from most girls or whatever, but sorry doesn't make everything better for me. Just because you said it? No. I need you to actually, like, mean it. And if you don't mean it, then don't say sorry. I'm not the kind of person who's gonna, you know, just because he said sorry, like, you know, it makes everything better. If you don't actually mean it, don't say it. And I'll be fine with that. I'll be fine. I'd rather you not apologize. If you didn't feel that you didn't do anything wrong, then you don't have anything to apologize for, then don't. Because I know personally, if somebody thinks that I did them wrong or whatever, and I don't feel like I did, I'm not apologizing.
Right.
I'm not giving you a fake apology. Like, I don't think what I did was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. If I hurt someone's feelings and I genuinely feel bad about hurting your feelings, I'll tell you I'm sorry for hurting your feelings. I'm not sorry for what I said, though.
Ooh.
Yeah, but I'm giving you the real deal, and that's what I want people to do for me. Like, if you're sorry that you hurt my feelings, cool, and you apologize for that, I understand that. However, if you don't feel sorry for whatever you said or whatever you did, don't apologize for that. Don't just give me empty sorries. That's one thing I don't like. I want them to... I'm the kind of person who needs... genuine apologies.
Yeah.
A genuine apology.
I'm gonna agree. And going back to accepting responsibility, I feel like just you need to accept responsibility for what you do, because if you wrong someone and you don't accept responsibility, it's just kind of like you just act like that whatever happened didn't happen.
Exactly.
And it's like then you're harboring all these feelings. It's like, yo, you know what you just did?
You're a sociopath. That's what you are.
Because a lot of people, you go through these things and you, because I don't know what it is, whether you're so afraid of admitting that something happened, whether you do something wrong and you literally, like, let's say you break something and you cover it up and move it out of eyesight.
Right.
It's like, yo, You know what you did. You broke that. You didn't think I was going to find out. Right. And I was wondering what happened to whatever that I was looking for.
And you're playing dumb.
And you fucking broke this shit.
Right.
Like, what you mean? And right. you're not gonna say nothing. You couldn't say anything about it.
Unacceptable.
And that's what, like, kills me when right. people don't right. accept responsibility.
You know what? I had an ex-boyfriend like that. And, it was just like, he was one of those people who never wanted to be wrong. He never wanted, right. He never wanted to be wrong. And if Whoa. He did mess up, he didn't want people to know about it or...
No.
And it was really awful because I was just like, look, you're going to mess up and you need to realize that and accept that you messed up and apologize for what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just be like, oh, well, whatever, like nothing happened. I know something happened. Everybody else knows something happened.
Yeah.
Like, why won't you up? Why, you know, when you do something wrong, why is it? But it was funny. Like, if you ever did anything wrong to him, it was the end of the world. Like, no sorries, no nothing. You wouldn't hear anything. Whatever. And basically, that's why we're not together anymore now. But it was like anything. If anybody wronged him, you know, he wouldn't speak to them for months. You know, and it's just like, dude.
Oh my gosh.
Like, he was one of those kind of people who was. But if he did something wrong, it wasn't supposed to be ever talked about.
Like, what? Come on.
I hate that. I hate people like that.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, no one's perfect. Like,
exactly.
You understand? Like, it's impossible. No one can be perfect. People, like you said, are going to make mistakes. But, yo, you make mistakes just as much as I do. And I know you make these mistakes. And you might even make more mistakes than I do.
Right, right, right.
And you need to get it together.
Yeah.
Get it all the way together and fucking apologize.
Right. And that was one of my big, big, big issues with him. Because he would never say sorry. And if he did ever say sorry, he didn't really mean it. It was always like, it's sorry after the fact, like, you found out, like, you know, whatever. Like, I told you, you know, you needed to buy milk and you didn't buy milk. What happened? And I'm like, you go into the fridge and like, I thought you were going to buy the milk. And I'm just like, and it wasn't even like, I'm sorry that I didn't buy the milk. I forgot. It was just like, I didn't buy it.
No, oh my gosh. Like,
what the hell?
Yo, the worst thing that I cannot stand is, like, let's say you did that. I thought you were supposed to buy milk, and you give like a whole bunch of excuses in between as to why you did not buy milk.
I don't give a fuck.
Like,
I don't care
whatsoever. Like, yo, just A to B. You didn't buy milk. Where's the milk?
Right. That's it. You know, simple A to B. I don't need to go to A1, A5. Z, just,
oh,
just,
I had to go here, I had
and
a
then I had
I got tired, I didn't even eat all day, so I stopped at, where is the milk?
It would be better for you to just get up and say, let me go buy it now. I would rather you just say, let me go buy it now, than to hear, because in that whole time that you, like, seriously, but I'm the kind of person that, I would sit there and let you listen, and so, you know, in that whole 10 minutes that you just gave me, that you could have already bought 3 gallons of milk. You over here sitting here giving me stories, Aesop's fables,
yes.
about why you ain't buy the milk.
Yes. Yo, after that, it's like, I'm just...
But then that goes back to a part of my love languages, too. Because if you loved me, you would have bought the milk, and I wouldn't have had to ask you, where's the milk? It would have just been in the fridge.
The more I look into this whole love languages, and I haven't looked into apology until I took the quiz. I just really see that it is important for everyone to really know what their partner's love language is.
It is. Like, it definitely is.
You really don't think about it until you go through it
right.
or really see what your love language is.
Right.
What's important to you, and then it is so important.
I think so. Because if you're the kind of person who likes gifts and that's how you feel that someone is expressing their love to you when they buy you gifts, the person that you're with may not necessarily be that kind of person.
Right.
So you could be buying them the world and they don't give a shit.
Right.
And you're like, why the hell isn't the person, you know, being receptive to my love that I'm giving them? That's because they don't speak that love language. That's not the love language
right.
that they speak. And so I think actually, you know, Gary Chapman is onto something really awesome here. As far as, like, you know, speaking the different love languages. And I think it's a cool thing for anybody who's in a relationship with anybody So you even, you know, both of you guys take the quizzes and figure out what it is, you know, the love language that your person speaks. And then you'll really show them that you love them by, you know, speaking their language.
One thing about, I don't remember if I mentioned this when we had the show at Street Talk for Valentine's Day, is I remember that one of my love languages, it was not receiving gifts.
Right.
And I don't know if I mentioned this, but I associate receiving gifts with something bad. Like you, right.
You did something bad, and that's why you give me a gift.
So that's why you give me a gift. Exactly. So that is one of the main reasons. And as I was reading the book, it was like, oh my gosh, like, wow. Like, I really don't like receiving gifts. Because when I was younger, if I would get mad at my mom for whatever reason, like, let's say she said she was gonna, I don't know, take me to the zoo, and we never went to the zoo.
So and she gave you a consolation prize.
It was, yeah. Or let's say, or I got mad at her for whatever reason. For whatever reason, you know, little kid mad or something, right, like that. She'd be like, but, you know,
you want some ice cream?
It wasn't even like some ice cream. It would still be like really cool, but it's like, oh, I really wanted to go to the museum and we can't go to the museum for whatever reason. And it's like, why can't we do that? But you wanna go take me shopping.
I don't wanna go to the museum.
It was always something like, right, that. Like, right. And the same thing with my dad too. And I just wasn't into it. So, like, anytime someone gives me, it's like, I do like receiving gifts. Don't get me wrong. Thoughtful ones, unexpected ones are great.
Right.
But, consolation gifts, it's like, I don't want it.
No,
like, if you do something bad, like, oh, I got you some flowers. Look what you got me. I don't want those flowers.
Yeah. Don't do that. So, don't come to me to apologize with, you know, or just give me flowers and that's supposed to be the sorry.
That's, I'm surprised, like, making restitution was higher for me.
Yeah.
For the second one that I got.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. You didn't feel like making restitution should have been that high?
Mm-mm.
So, in the five, with expressing regret, accepting responsibility, making restitution, genuinely repenting, and requesting forgiveness... Accepting responsibility, definitely for you.
Yeah.
Top tier.
Mm-hmm.
Since making restitution did come higher, but you said that you don't think it should have, what would you say instead of making restitution? What would you say?
Probably genuinely repenting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Genuinely repenting, yeah, would probably be, I definitely do remember checking off answers, right, that were like, what can I do to make it up to you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that for me, that just is closely associated with giving gifts.
Right.
So that's why I'm surprised at it. But exactly. Maybe it makes sense. I don't know. Right. I just don't think about it. Just accept responsibility and let's move on. Like, it's like, accept responsibility. Let's not go through this again.
Exactly.
And let's just, let's move on. And let's act like it. I won't say let's act like it never happened, but we don't have to talk about it.
Right.
As long as you... as long as we don't go through this.
Exactly. And I read somewhere that it was a quote, and I'm not quite sure who said it, but it said that forgiveness is treating the person like nothing ever happened.
Hmm.
That's what forgiveness is. Treating the person, even though you know something happened, if you're going to treat the person like they did you wrong, then you don't forgive them. If you forgive them, even though it's in the back of your mind, yeah, you know that they wronged you, but to treat them the way that that you did before whatever the issue was happened, that's what forgiveness is. And I actually agree with that.
I agree with it too.
Yeah.
I feel like I forgive all the time.
Yeah. So, but that's how I am, though. If you genuinely, accept responsibility and express regret, like, you know you did something wrong and you feel bad for doing it, and then that's it. I'm not going to go back, remember that time when you... I'm not going to do that. However, if I don't feel that you accept responsibility, I will definitely throw it in your face. I am that kind of person. I am that kind of person. If you just said sorry to say sorry, I'm just like, you know what? Fuck you. You don't care. You're just going to go back and you're going to do it again. You're not sorry. You don't even think that you did something wrong. Like, I'm that kind, right, of... Because I don't feel that it was resolved because you didn't, right, feel that, right, you were responsible.
We need a resolution.
Yes, indeed. And so, for it to be resolved for me, I need you to accept responsibility. Don't just throw it under the rug like, oh, well, I said I'm sorry. It's done. No.
That really hurts my feelings.
Me too.
Like, there's no other way for me to say that, but that shit hurts my feelings.
And shit, as a Capricorn, I don't even have feelings, and that really does hurt. No, it hurts my feelings when somebody says, like, they're just like, I said I was sorry. Like, so what? You don't mean it. If you don't mean it, keep it. You just wasted your breath and my time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It really hurts I will say that. That's one thing that hurts my feelings. And somebody doesn't really, like, they're just saying sorry just to say sorry. It's just like, forget
it's
it.
It's the non-acknowledgement.
Right.
That hurts my feelings. Right. Like, all the way around. Yeah. Whether it's not accepting, that comes, obviously, that's like the same thing, not accepting responsibility, not really apologizing or meaning it. Like, all that is not acknowledgement, and all of that hurts my feelings.
Yeah.
Because I try to be, I feel like if I really care about you, I do try to be conscious of your feelings.
Right.
So I don't want to do anything that's going to upset you.
Right.
And so if I do upset you, it's like, that really does make me feel bad.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And granted, like, a lot of times, like I said on one show, like, you know, if I care about you or whatever, if I want to get to know you, something like that, then, you know, then that's it. But so if I come across someone that I don't really have feelings for, whether it's a friend, whether it's a man, whatever, it's like, it just rolls off my back. Like, right. It's like, I don't really care because I'm not going to think about it.
Exactly.
But if I do, you know, care you in that regard, and yeah, I'm definitely going to try and look out for your feelings. Yeah. So if I do step on someone's toes in any kind of way and that does make them feel bad, then chances are I'm going to feel bad. But Libras feel bad, like, for a lot of different things. Yeah, that's another show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely everyone, just try and look into what your, all your love languages are.
Yeah, and your love language and apology languages.
Languages are. Because, yeah, it's super important. And that definitely gives a lot of insight into how you were raised, how you are, and, you know, your future.
Right, and how you interact in relationships. And so, again, like
any
I
kind
said,
of relationship.
Any relationship. Friendship, husband, wife, whatever.
Children.
You know, I think it's great for you guys to know what languages you guys are speaking. It, not just English, but as far as your love language and your apology language. So, on the topic of all these languages, speaking French, speaking apology, speaking love, we have our drink recipe.
Yay! What's the drink of the week? What's the drink of the week?
So, the drink of the week.
It's cocktail time, by the way, if you didn't know.
Yes. Do you guys like when we sing that song?
I hope so. Should we have, like, a cocktail time jingle for you guys?
Yeah, we want it.
Because I want to record
one. Yeah! Shoot! So, tweet us, email us.
Or if you guys have a jingle that you would love to share.
Yeah, we want to hear.
That you don't mind me being a part. No, I'm kidding. I was trying to be in the studio.
Me too. Shoot, I'm trying to sing. Gina.
Singing in the background.
What's up? Yeah. If you guys don't know, that's a Martin reference. Funny show. So today's drink is the linguist.
Ooh
la la.
Lingual to me.
Right. So, what you're going to do, you're going to get one moment, please. All right. So, you need some, one ounce of Absolut Vodka, an ounce of Southern Comfort, two dashes of Grenadine.
Dash, dash.
One splash of Club Soda.
Splish.
And a splash of sour mix.
Splash.
So, shake all of that up and pour it in an ice. Pour it over ice in a cocktail glass. And that's the linguist.
Of course, it doesn't have to be Absolut Vodka.
It can be any vodka.
Yeah, whatever vodka that
The
you
thing
want.
Is, the reason why we picked vodka is they say that vodka makes you talkative. It gets the synapses as far as, like, talking and being creative with words. Vodka is one of those alcohols that make you do that.
Ooh.
So, hopefully it'll get you guys talking, and maybe it'll make you guys more susceptible to learn a different language. Maybe you'll be more open and more loose with your tongue. going to be able to get the phonetics.
Whoa.
Yes.
That's what he said.
All right.
I don't know. I just like saying all of those.
Yes.
Anything. About to eat this hamburger. Ooh, that's what he
said. That's what he said.
But if you guys know any languages or speak any other languages, definitely let us know, because we want to see if you guys are multilingual.
Yeah, but don't be hitting us up if you speak Pig Latin. We don't want to hear about that. We don't.
Yes, if you speak Pig Latin, I doubt anyone
keep that.
Would think that.
Keep that. Keep that.
I should hope not.
But we want to know if you guys speak any other languages.
Yes.
And if you learned them as a child, or if you, you know, learned them in school, we want to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are trying to be polyglots. We're polyglot enthusiasts.
Yeah.
Yes.
So talk to us.
Yes.
On Twitter, as we give you all the time, at Catnaps in Cognac. And you know what? Let's give a shout out to the radio show, Cognac Time.
Cognac Time.
Yeah.
Check them out.
Check them out, because they have tons of different mixes and songs. And they also speak about news and politics.
Yeah,
and
it's a very
like
cool show. Yeah.
They come on Thursdays at 10 o'clock,
Tuesdays
actually.
Too, as well. Tuesdays and Thursdays, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m.
Yes.
Yes.
They come on during scandal time, so I have to listen between commercial breaks.
Yeah. So that's why I like to listen on Tuesdays. But yeah, it's actually a really cool show. So check them out, Cognac Time. And I guess that's it for the rest of the show. We're done talking.
Yes. And thanks for listening.
Yes.
So we are signing out.
Yes, and... I'm Lucky Stars.
And I'm Ariel Sheree.
See you next week, folks.
Roger that. Happy.
10-4.
Bye.
Bye.